These lakes hold a lot of stories, and all of them get better every time they're told. Because you've got 40-inch gators out there, giant lakers, crappies, sunnies, and walleye. So many walleye. So get ready with the best from clam, otter, vexlar, hummingbird, garmin, 13 fishing, and many more. The Shields Ice Fishing Sale runs now through December 13th, in-store and online at shields.com. The ice is calling.
John Krasinski and I have been covering the Vikings for decades. John grew up watching the team, and I thought Sunday's performance against the Carolina Panthers was a classic Vikings performance. Let everybody think that you're so bad you can't even beat the Panthers at home without Christian McCaffrey. Somehow botch a punt late in the game and come back and win anyway. But, of course, it's the Vikings, so you have to wait and see if the 54-yard field goal from the opponent is going to go through and destroy all of your hopes and dreams. It was a fascinating Sunday to be there. It's one of those days, John, I'm glad to be a writer because there was just so much there. You could have written about 85 different moments in the game. And in the end, you end up writing about the Vikings just barely holding on, being a 5-6 team, and somehow being right in the middle of the playoff race.
Yeah, I think that's been indicative of this entire season is they walk this tightrope between disaster and just, you know, hanging on for dear life. And even when you think things are going well for them, when Cousins rips down the field and has an unbelievable last minute drive. I mean, he was to perfection on that drive, and they score, and Chad Beebe with the great moment of atoning for his mistake and all these things, they still had an absolutely real chance to lose that game. And so I just think that it is sort of what we have seen from this team from start to finish is you cannot trust them, you cannot rely on them, but in some way, shape, or fashion, they find a way to stay relevant. If they would have lost that game, I mean, the chances of them being in the playoffs or having any kind of a discussion about that is almost, you know, totally vaporized. But, you know, now that they did find a way to squeak that one out, I'm still, you know, not going to say, okay, everything is right with the world. And they are, you know, they're, you know, you don't want to play these guys. They're right in the middle of it. They're still not playing particularly well, but they do, they're, it's like Tim Tebow, you know, right in front of our eyes. Like, we don't know necessarily how they're doing it sometimes, but they're finding a way, and it's a deeply flawed team, but one that is still relevant, and we'll take that at this point of the season.
They're interesting, which I appreciate. It gives us lots to talk about here on the Viking Update Show. He's John Krasinski from The Athletic. I'm Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. This is one of our two Viking shows at TalkNorth.com, along with Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see the shows as they're released. If you'd like to advertise with us, you can reach Karen Cleary at K-C-L-E-A-R-Y at TalkNorth.com. Thank you to our current sponsor, Starbank, starbank.net. And Twill in the Edina Galleria, twillmn.com. And the best way to listen to the show and the network, subscribe to your favorite podcast app, tons of outdoor content, tons of hockey content, football content. We cover pretty much everything here, and we have great people. Check out talknorth.com for all of that. But again, subscribing is the best way to listen. You know, I was even thinking, okay, Zimmer had a good day with challenges, and then he had that really dumb challenge toward the end. It cost him a timeout, right? And how much of this game is just luck this season? For, you know what? The Chiefs and the Steelers are really good. And the Jets and the Jacksonville Jaguars are terrible. Everybody else is just in this middle muck where, you know, it's about one play your quarterback makes or one coaching decision or the ball bounced in a certain way at some point. The fact that Zimmer blew a timeout and couldn't call timeouts during that final drive ends up meaning that Teddy has just – not enough time to move them any closer than 54 yards, because if they get within 45 or something, one more completion, they probably kick a winning field goal.
Yeah, that's right. And really for much of that game, Jim, I mean, the Vikings were so sloppy, you know, whether it was the turnovers that led to touchdowns, but just like, you know, delay of game penalties, you know, offsides, you know, it was just a game that you watch them play for most of it. And you're saying they don't deserve to be in this game. Like they have made too many of these mistakes. And then, yes, you look at the challenge at the end and it just seemed like there were so many of these things that were piling up against them. And you're saying, they're not going to win this game, are they? But then, I mean, you know, Zim, I think he made his mistakes, and Matt Rhule and Joe Brady made even more mistakes in terms of the play calling, in terms of all the mess. And then Teddy Bridgewater missing a wide open DJ Moore in the end zone that would have, you know, changed everything and would have ended the game right there. So they were absolutely 100% lucky. And like you said, when you are in that very big pot of mediocre teams, which the league is full of right now, it's who gets the luckiest sometimes. It's who catches the one break at the end of the game to put them in. It doesn't necessarily mean that you were the better team, because I don't think they were the better team in that game, but they just made just one less mistake than the Panthers did. And that's what got them over the hump. But for those reasons, I don't think that you can come out of that game feeling incredibly confident. If you're a Vikings fan, if you're a member of the organization, be like, okay, we put the Dallas loss behind us. Now we're back on track. I mean, for all intents and purposes, any team that, you know, was even marginally adequate at quarterback, and let's face it, Teddy was terrible for much of that game. And get some better play calling from some college coaches who are still acclimating to the NFL. They lose that game. And now you're looking at, again, doomsday scenarios and things like that. So that's the fine line that this team is walking. And that's why I'm just kind of very reluctantly going to, you know, kind of heap praise on them, because the one thing is Kirk Cousins was absolutely clinical on that last drive. And, you know, the defense played well for the most part for a lot of the game, but they still have so many flaws that you can't feel good about that going into, you know, you have Jacksonville, but then you have Tampa. I mean, there's just no way to feel like you have any kind of a read on this team making a run in December.
Oh, no. We have no idea what's going to happen, but they've at least made it interesting, as I said before.
They're in it.
And as you said, so here in, you know, if you want to talk about quarterback play, here's the game boiled down to. Cousins was excellent on the first drive. He was excellent on the last got-to-have-it drive. And Teddy missed a wide-open touchdown, in the third quarter. I think Samuels was wide open near the goal line, and Teddy just missed him. And then Teddy missed the touchdown that would have clinched the game. So they needed both. They needed Cousins to be really good at certain moments, and they needed Teddy to be really bad at certain moments. Teddy started the game horribly, warmed up a bit, and then he missed those two big touchdown throws. I've always been very pro Teddy, but Cousins outplayed him yesterday. And that, you know, along with 86 other things, is what decided the game.
Yeah. And, you know, like I will say this about Teddy, Jim. Like, you know, you talk to anyone who has spent even a week around him in the same huddle on the same team, and they just line up behind this guy. And so he has an absolutely natural leadership quality that I think is rare. He has an authenticity about him. He has just something inside of him that gets players and coaches to believe in him. And that is such an enormous part of being a quarterback. So there's that he has going for him. I will say, though, that even before the injury, when he was with the Vikings, I thought he was a good quarterback. I thought that, okay, you know, this is a guy that you can win games with, because he will not get you beat. Like, he will not beat himself. That he will make some plays to move the ball down the field, especially in big moments like we saw in the Seattle game before Blair Walsh missed the field goal. But I thought in general, you know, I just thought he was all right. Like, it wasn't for me, like, I never got to the point where you're saying, man, you know, Zim clearly believed like this was the guy for them for the next 10, 12 years. I just, with the arm, with, kind of a lot of the check downs with things. I just thought he was a nice quarterback, not anyone like, certainly not, you know, Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, you know, upper echelon type guy where he's like, that's our franchise quarterback and he's going to win us games. I thought that with the way that the team was built, Teddy could be very good for them and could be exactly what they needed. But, you know, everything that we saw on Sunday was a lot of the concerns you have. The ball really wobbled out of his hand. I mean, it did not come out of there with any kind of authority. Usually he is very accurate, but a lot of those throws that he's accurate on, and one of the big reasons that his completion percentage is so high is there's so much check down. There's so many of those, the short routes that he hits. And whenever he had to go down the field, other than, you know, the one big throw at the end that put him in position for the field goal, you know, they were often off the mark. And so, you know, if people were kind of thinking about, you know, what would have been, what might have been with Teddy, maybe he would have, without all of this layoff, maybe he would have grown into more and maybe he would have improved more and really become a playmaker. But I do think that I'm going to duck when I say this, but I think Cousins is a better quarterback than Teddy is. You know, he has a stronger arm and he's, you know, he's more accurate down the field and he has a little bit more command. Now, of course, he has not missed the time that Teddy has, so we have to factor that in. But just in general, you know, you felt more confident with Kirk Cousins back there than you did with Teddy on Sunday, which is saying something because we're not often very confident with Kirk Cousins back there.
Yeah, I thought that Teddy was going to be an elevated game manager, someone mm-hmm. who, and I also expected him, if he had stayed healthy, to improve his weakness, which was throwing the deep ball. And actually, before yesterday, his strength this year has been throwing the deep ball. He's hit a lot mm-hmm. of big plays, but that wasn't the guy we saw yesterday. So I thought that Bridgewater would be a better than Cousins right now. I trust him more than Cousins, but it just, that wasn't what we saw yesterday. And Bridgewater still has big questions to answer. He has to be able to make better, but he just didn't play well. And maybe that was an aberration. I've heard good things about the way he's played this year, but he just wasn't good enough. And Kirk is here's the thing about the way I describe Cousins. Cousins is a good passer. He's not always a good quarterback. You know, when you take into account mm-hmm. somebody you really want to be your leader, you want to trust in certain situations. And he did sabotage the season the way he played the first six games. Now he's played a great month. And we've seen it before. He's had other good months. Now he's having an excellent month. You know, and it's going to be fascinating to see which guy shows up. I hate that phrase. I'm going to retract that phrase. It'll be interesting to see how he handles this now that he's gotten them back in the playoff race. Now, how does he handle it? How does he handle a should be gimme win against Jacksonville? How does he handle going to Tampa and facing down Tom Brady with something on the line? Hey, it's going to be fascinating. Before we continue this conversation, I want to thank Star Bank. Have you tried to call your bank lately? Do you bank locally? Star Bank is our bank at the Talk North Podcast Network. They're a family-owned local bank with branches across central and west central Minnesota. With Star Bank, you get all the bells and whistles you would expect from a bank these days, but they have no 800 number, no call center, and no confusing phone queue. You can even request your banker's cell phone number. That's how they operate. Star Bank is a true Minnesota family-run business. We're sitting here talking about trust with Cousins. You know, I banked with Star Bank when I first moved into town. They've been around a long time, you know, highly reputable. Check them out at starbank.net. Star Bank is a member FDIC and equal housing lender. All right. Well, so the Vikings have reinserted themselves into the playoff race. If they beat Jacksonville, they're going to go to Tampa, one game behind Tampa, with Tampa not playing very well and having a lot of internal questions right now. And, you know, it's easy to say Tampa's the better team, but we just don't know. You know, we just don't know how these teams are going to play. Then you look around the division, and the Vikings, by default, are the second-best team in the division. The Bears are an absolute mess. The Lions finally fired Matt Patricia, who's an idiot. Matt Nagy might be an idiot. He had a talented team there, and he's taken a team that was a great defensive team that could make some plays on offense, and he's turned them into an average defensive team that doesn't make plays on offense. Mm-hmm. The Vikings are, once again, the Vikings are so lucky to be in the division with these people.
They absolutely are. I mean, you look at just the state of everything, and I think you hit it. I mean, it's by default that they're second. Now, the thing, if you want to take heart in it from a Vikings perspective, is the things that have largely bothered the Vikings this season are health. I mean, you know, how different would they look on defense with Danielle Hunter and with Anthony Barr and some of those things? I mean, how much better would it be to have their offensive line fully intact and Adam Thielen playing on Sunday, and they didn't have him on Sunday? So a lot of that is health. Now, clearly there's the Cousins thing and how they navigate that as well. But you look at, you know, Chicago and Detroit are both just ineptitude to the fullest. And so it's quite remarkable when you look at things. You know, let's just look at it from Green Bay's perspective. I mean, Green Bay has been good in terms of infrastructure, in terms of drafting, in terms of kind of team building and team running, but they haven't been great. Like, you know, yes, you have Rodgers. They got Devontae Adams now, but you look at some of the other moves that they have made, and it leaves a lot to be desired. But just because, and by virtue of their not just screwing everything up, they have been the class of the division. And that's just what this division has been for quite a while. And, you know, when the Vikings have been able to keep their guys healthy, they're right in the thick for the number one position there. And so I think they will absolutely be head and shoulders above the Bears and until they move on from Matt Nagy. And they're, you know, the Lions are dead and buried, and like they have been forever and ever. And it just, they cannot seem to get out of their own way. And so as long as you have those two teams in this division, you're going to be able to pad your win total, and you should be in the playoff race pretty much every single year, because you should pick up at least three wins between those two teams, if not more.
That's saying, if that field goal is good, we're talking about a Vikings team that would be behind Chicago in the standings and tied with the Lions, who've just fired mm-hmm. everybody. So that's mm-hmm. how close to the brink they were on Sunday. Hey, I want to thank Twill. Yeah. Excuse me. I'm going to thank Twill in the Dining Galleria. We told you lots about Twill, about their owner, Scott Dayton. TwillMN.com. You can check out all their beautiful clothing and shoes and accessories and golf stuff. You can still go in, or you can always just contact Scott directly, Scott@TwillMN.com, and they will set up anything you want, whether it's contactless delivery or curbside pickup. I wanted to tell you about some of the brands they have. They have Alan Payne, they have Alden, they have Brax. I have some Brax pants. Barber, I bought a bunch of Barber stuff. They're a Peter Millar Crown Store. Grayson, Faraday, Hagen, Hickey, Freeman. Okay, I can't go on. It's all kinds of stuff. Listen, you can go there and get a beautifully tailored suit that you could walk into any meeting anywhere in the world and feel comfortable in. Or you can go buy golf stuff, or sitting around the house stuff, or sit around in a pandemic stuff. Just go to TwillMN.com and check it out. Also go to Twill Edina on Instagram and see just beautiful, beautiful photos of beautiful stuff. I'm sorry, I cut you off there, John. Did you have something?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say that it is kind of funny, Jim, though, because if you like read the coverage of Lions and Bears, if you read if you kind of pay attention to Bears Twitter and Lions Twitter and things like that, I mean, they all think that it is an absolute 5-alarm fire, complete disaster that those two teams are in. And I think they're right. But the Vikings are not exactly that far ahead of them. You know, it's not like they're, you know, 8-1 right now and everything looks great. I mean, this team, the way that they are playing, could easily have dropped a couple of more games. Yeah, they could have picked up one or two more as well. But holy cow. I mean, the Lions have four wins, which was shocking. And it's just like, and everyone wants the whole place burned down. And so it kind of should, I think, give Vikings fans give the Vikings themselves a little bit of pause, and that's how close they are to, you know, the cliff here. And, you know, one or two more of these losses, and I think there's going to be barbarians at their gates as well.
Yeah, and the difference is that the Vikings have been highly competitive during the Zimmer years. They went to an NFC title game. They won a playoff game last year. So they've bought themselves some what's the best phrase?
Equity,
they bought themselves. Yeah, they bought some. They have some equity. And the question always is in pro sports is how far does your equity take you? I don't think a bad year this year under these circumstances with Danielle Hunter out and Pierce opting out and different, you know, all the stuff they've had to go through replacing all your cornerbacks. I don't think that a bad year this year would get them fired, but I think a bad year this year would put them on notice.
Yeah, and I do think, like, one thing that I thought was has been interesting is you are seeing a bunch of guys getting fired this season, and you wondered if organizations would give their regimes kind of the benefit of the doubt given you know, given the complexities, the craziness of this COVID season, you know, the no training camp, the practice regimens that have been altered, like all of this stuff. Like if there was ever a time to give a group, you know, to say, hey, just try and get through this season. Let's not make it an abject disaster and let's wipe the slate clean and hopefully start with a more quote unquote normal circumstance next season. But we're not seeing that. And I think you're right. I mean, you know, Matt Patricia had zero equity with the Lions. I don't, you know, Nagy had the one good season here with the Bears. But other than that, it's been pretty rough. And so he's, you know, the remarkable one is Adam Gase has somehow survived so far with the Jets.
Well, he's tanking.
But he is tanking.
He's built in tanking.
exactly. And so, you know, that's why I think I'm certainly in your camp too, where given all of the craziness around here, I don't think that, you know, this is a time that you make drastic decisions, for the Vikings, given what they have shown you in the past and also given how the Wilfs have operated in the past. So, but it just is really interesting to see just how close they are to it being a complete dumpster fire. And hey, you know, maybe they are going to be able to walk this tightrope all the way to the end of the season, and maybe they will sneak into the playoffs some way somehow, and that would be an accomplishment. And we'll just have to see. But I just don't know how anybody can have any real faith in them right now.
And I think you look around the NFL, we talk about operating during this weird COVID environment and having to deal with all kinds of challenges and this different players out unpredictably, not much of an offseason, all those things. And I just think the really, really, really good coaches have found a way. You know, I mean, you hear Rodgers praising LaFleur months after, you know, LaFleur is part of the management team that drafted a guy to challenge him down the road sometime, you know, maybe end his tenure in Green Bay. And Rodgers is raving about him because the offense just works so beautifully. Then you have, you know, Sean Payton's 9-2 with Taysom Hill playing quarterback. Pete Carroll, you know, is right there because Pete Carroll's a great coach. Andy Reid, you know, it doesn't look like the cheat, you know, he took a great team and they're still playing great because they have a great quarterback and an excellent coach. You have the Steelers, Mike Tomlin, he knows how to operate. He never makes excuses for his team. They've gone through 85 different receivers, you know, in the last few years, and they still get production. You know, I just think the good coaches don't – I think good coaches look at a difficult landscape the way a great golfer looks at a tough major setup. Oh, good. This is going to eliminate the people who don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Belichick is struggling a little bit, but other than that, we're seeing, you know, we are seeing, you know, the organizations and the stability and the leadership really shine. You know, look at the NFC East. Everyone's a dumpster fire there, and I think that there's a lot of shakiness in the leadership in some of those teams. And, you know, I think I like Ron Rivera for the Washington team, but you know, he's just getting started there. Joe Judge is very early on in his career. Doug Peterson has really seemed to slip since the Super Bowl. Who knows what the Cowboys situation is going on, but those are volatile kind of situations outside of the Giants, who try to be stable as best they can. And everyone is really stinking up the joint. And, you know, Sean McVay and the Rams, they're 7-4, right? Yeah. So I think it's a good theory that way, that they are, finding ways to rise up and so I guess I just don't know what exactly that says about, you know, Mike Zimmer. Like, he is 5-6. Do we look at that as, is that better than expected given all the things they've had to deal with, or should they be finding a way with Dalvin Cook and Cousins and Thielen and Jefferson should they have a couple more wins? Should they be, you know, 7-4, something like that? I'm not sure about that. I don't know what to think about that.
Yeah, and all the people I mentioned as great coaches also have, you know, excellent quarterbacks, and they've been working with those players, and that has tied them over. You would like, if you were high on this Vikings team coming this year, you'd like to think that an experienced coach, an experienced quarterback working together with excellent receivers, a great running back, and some talent on defense, although not the defenses we've seen in the past, would find a way. And that's kind of what they did yesterday, but it's not what they've done often enough. You know, they probably should. If you have a high opinion of this operation, you would have liked to see them steal another win or two and be 6-5, 7-4. And if they were, we'd be having completely different conversations about this group.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, yeah. You look at the Dallas loss, the Atlanta loss. Like, you look at some of these real stinker losses, and those are the ones that end up coming back to bite you in the end. I mean, they may get to the last couple of weeks of the season and think, man, what would one more win be doing for us right now? And so they're going to have to be scrambling. But given the unpredictability of this season in general, I think it's out of the realm of I think it's not likely, but I do think that it's possible that they win 3 in a row here. And now all of a sudden the conversation has changed again. And it's just, given the way that teams are so closely kind of together on the talent spectrum, you know, this is a possibility, but I think Vikings fans are correct in their instincts, which it seems like they are right now, where they're not getting their hopes up here. They're not going to kind of, you know, open themselves up to another kick in the gut until they're in the playoffs, getting ready to play Seattle in round one or something like that. That's going to be when things go again. But this is still a believe it when I see it type of a situation.
Good thing about the current NFL is if the Vikings just wear their masks and wash their hands, they might be the last team standing.
It'd be fine. Yeah, absolutely. Just win by attrition. That should be the goal at this point.
And I'm envisioning Roger Goodell wearing a mask, putting the Lombardi Trophy on a little treadmill to have it carried over to Mike Zimmer so they can stay 6 feet apart.
We'll take it at this point. Well, however that Lombardi thing gets here, if they have to FedEx it and, you know, in some kind of hyperbaric chamber and make sure nobody else touches it, any way, shape, or form, no parade, nothing, that's fine. Just get it here.
I want to thank our producer, Brandon Morton. Again, best way to listen, subscribe. We will do Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider later in the week to talk about some more of the developments, the Monday night game, the Tuesday night game, the upcoming Jacksonville Jaguars game. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
These lakes hold a lot of stories, and all of them get better every time they're told. Because you've got 40-inch gators out there, giant Lakers, crappies, sunnies, and walleye. So many walleye. So get ready with the best from clam, otter, vexlar, hummingbird, garmin, 13 fishing, and many more. The Shields Ice Fishing Sale runs now through December 13th, in-store and online at shields.com. The ice is calling.